Hallelujah. Have your seat. Praise the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and Matthew's Gospel 28. We want to look at certain things that are already in our practice and should be in our practice, and we should get better in them. When it comes to spiritual truths and spiritual practices, you can't stay on one spot. It's either you are getting better in them or you are losing the edge. And so as a ministry, we endeavor to have some meetings in the year and also in the local church that allows you to have that emphasis. And so we're going to look at the subject, In the Spirit and by the Spirit. I purposely gave it that title so that it will be listened to in the series, because some folks often will forget the doctrine and then they go out for Holy Ghost meetings. Out of flow with the Spirit. And they don't have the explanation of it. And so that's why, rather than call, there's a title in my mind. There's actually a subject that I'm teaching and we're going to look at, we're practicing. I'll tell you at the end. But nobody's going to know. It's going to be the title. So anybody who sees in the Spirit by the Spirit will have to listen from series 1. Because oftentimes when you get into practices you don't understand, you mishandle them. And it's always not healthy. Praise the Lord. Matthew's Gospel today, that just opened 2 Corinthians 1:18, and we'll also at the same time Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3. Well, Matthew's Gospel 28 first. Let's read that. And verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me, that's the word authority, in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, which is to make disciples, make students, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. And verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he brings in a core aspect of Christian living, which is discipleship. And we said oftentimes that you can make a decision for salvation in a few seconds, few minutes, but discipleship is something you learn all your life. Matthew's Gospel 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now I told you the context of that statement stems from 25:26-27, where he says that the things of God are hid from the prudent and the wise, they are only revealed unto babes. And it deals with the attitude, the kind of attitude you have. And I thought I dealt with that on Sunday about the wisdom. Remember that? Two kinds of wisdom. And we said that if you are going to be wise, you're going to be foolish, right? Be a fool, Paul says, so that you'll be wise. In other words, Jesus says be a child, Paul says be a fool. If you are going to receive the wisdom of God, Jesus says you have to be like a child. God doesn't reveal it to the wise and the prudent, but on the babes. Matthew's Gospel 11:25. And also reveals them to those who believe, who look like fools. Paul says if you are, he that is wise should become a fool so that he might become wise. 1 Corinthians 3, right from verse 18, 19 and 20. So as a context of what Jesus will say here, 25, 26, 27 and 20, come unto me, which is the attitude of a babe, right? Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My burden is light, my yoke is easy. I am humble and meek, engendered in heart or in spirit, then he says, take my yoke upon yourself, learn of me. So when he says, come unto me and all ye heavy laden, he has nothing to do with unemployment. Can I have an amen? And say, when you have lost your job, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Or you are looking for material prosperity. There's nothing wrong in looking for material prosperity. Just look for it in the right places. And so, you have that. And he says, and I'll give you rest. And the rest is from learning. So that's how to learn. Mantano. I'm learning like a student. And therefore, in the learning, we also learn how to flow and follow and be led by the Spirit. There's a learning to it. And the moment there's a learning to it, that means there's a skillfulness to it, that you get better the way you keep learning. The best of lawyers are not the lawyers that were very good in the university, or the ones that had the very good results in the law school. No. The best of lawyers are those, one, who read constantly, who update themselves constantly, and who practice the profession. The best of doctors. I remember I had it was a secondary school senior who was a medical doctor, but became a DJ. And he practiced being a DJ many years. I'm sure you're not going to ask him after 8 years of cognitive experience in DJ-ship. There you were. You now find the same person you found in the nightclub doing evangelism. You see him with a stethoscope. Is there cameras around for a movie? He says, no. I've been a doctor since 20 years, but for the past 8 years, I've not practiced it. I've just tried to try my hands on DJ-ship. But early this morning, I decided to change my mind. See, we're also changing our minds. Even though he has a degree in it, but he has not been practicing it. Amen. Or you want to travel, and the guy said, I used to drive some 25 years ago. And then you want to travel at 8 o'clock at night. I can drive you, don't worry. 25 years ago? That's too soon. In other words, it can't be in your past. It can't be something you know. It has to be something you're doing now. Praise the Lord. Something you're active at. You update your knowledge. You learn. You're like I said to you 2 years back, you have the cutting edge of it. You're at the very edge of it. You understand it. So in other words, when it comes to the gospel, and in this instance, the things of the Spirit, having a reservoir of knowledge in your past is not good enough. It's not good enough. Praise the Lord. And then praise the Lord. So you have to keep learning. You have to learn what you have learned and learn what you have not learned. So he says, to make disciples, in other words, you have to be a student. You have to be someone who has a heart to learn. What's that? Somebody opens the Word of God and he begins to talk about speaking in tongues. And you've written a book on speaking in tongues. And that book is on Amazon. The book is on all the channels. Everybody knows about it. And then you no longer want to hear things about speaking in tongues because you have a book on tongues. You're going to get rusty. You're going to get very rusty. You're going to get very, very rusty. In other words, you have to keep at it. Keep hearing it like you've never heard it before. Praise the Lord. And so that's what we're going to seek to see in this meeting. So it says you need to be a student. In other words, he says, go and make this happen, revelation, pardon me. And therefore, you and I need to be students. Hallelujah. So that's vital here. That you remain someone who is innocent. What do I mean by that? You are listening like you haven't heard it before. Hallelujah. And then you're going to hear things you've never heard before. That's the way it works. And so that attitude is very vital, a very good attitude. So turn your Bibles quickly to Genesis chapter 1. I said you should open to that as well. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. Genesis chapter 1. Why am I open to Genesis? Because I have taught you Genesis. Alright? I could have tried this some years back. Okay, but now I can, because we've done studies in the Old Testament well enough, so we're confident to go in there, and there won't be a problem. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. We've explained what that is. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Referring to humanity. Basically the face of the deep. That's imageries about mankind. And it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God. And it says, and God said, let there be light. In other words, the very first words that Moses writes about God, he says, God in verse 1, in verse 2, he says, the Spirit of God. So by using the Spirit of God, that means every other thing there will be figurative. By hearing about waters, darkness, the face of the deep, the imageries. Because the same way he uses an imagery to describe God by saying spirit. Now, the word spirit is the word ruach that has to do with breath or wind, something you cannot see. That's why you go read later on, you find breath of life. And that's not talking about God. So he opens up that chapter using an imagery, spirit of God, which is the word wind in the Greek, ruach. Is Hebrew, pneuma in Greek, has to do with wind, something that's blowing, just like this now. You know, you can only say, you can't say, I saw it, but you can describe it. So it's an imagery. Something that's moving, you cannot see it, but you can hear it. Alright? And this instance is not immaterial, it's a person. That's why it says God. Then the Spirit of God. In other words, God who is a Spirit. So it opens that up with a kind of imagery. Something that you should be able to relate with. So he says, upon the face of the deep. Upon the face of the water. So that already shows you he's using images. And he says, God said, verse 3, let there be light. And again, he is not referring to the sun, the moon, and the stars. So, from verse 1, the heavens and the earth, an imagery. Verse 2, an imagery. Verse 3, verse 4, till about verse 5, 6, where he starts to describe physical things or material things or earthly bodies. So that means, from verse 1 through to verse 4 are heavenly realities. Heaven and earth, the Spirit of God, darkness upon the face of the deep, things like that are dealing with heavenly realities. Now, a big deal there is that he says to you that God's dealings in the earth and amongst men will be described like a wind. In other words, something that is not physically seen, but is a living being in the earth. Not physically seen, of course, until Jesus came. And that is something you need to place at utmost attention. Coming back to that, Then we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Which is usually our text for this series, in the spirit and by the spirit, so I just want to obey protocol. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. But as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus, that's Silas, Timotheus, that's Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ, and has anointed us God, who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Two words in there. He has sealed us. From the word sphragis, it means to put ownership. To put ownership on. To show relationship of belonging to another. In other words, the ownership of God in me is the Spirit. Then it says, the earnest. The word earnest there is a seal. Then it says earnest. The word earnest is the word erebon. We've done that in this series already. Erebon is to place value. It's used in a multidimensional way. It's used to pledge, to show value and worth. It's used to show capacity. I can do it, so I give you an erebon in the Old Testament. So he's saying God gave us his Spirit to show us a proof of ownership. Then he gave us his Spirit to show us his capacity and our value. Hallelujah. Are you there? So he gave us his Spirit to show ownership, and he gave his Spirit to show value. Value. He shows ownership, then he also shows value or ability. What he can do. Now, definitely, by the time you read chapter 5 of that same book, the book of 2 Corinthians, it describes the glorifying of the body, which you call the rapture, the physical rapture of the body, where the body is glorified, as the work of this earnest. It says in 5, now he that has wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also, now look at the text. The text is he's dealing with, from chapter 4, though we're looking at the things that are seen, the things that are seen are temporary, we see the things that are not seen because they are eternal. And it says the things that are not seen physically with the eyes represent eternal realities. Then he says, our light affliction is but for a moment, in verse 17, which is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Now, of course, that still refers to the physical body. Then chapter 5, he begins to talk about being clothed upon, not being clothed upon. Then the gist in there in verse 5 is he says, now he that hath wrought for us the self same thing, his God, who has given to us, what again? Now, what did we describe as earnest? To show capacity, right? To show value. So he's saying God shows us the capacity of what Paul just described in his Spirit. In other words, he's saying to us that the indwelling of God's Spirit is to show God's capacity through, let's put it like this, through the human body, through what sin has done in the human body. And read through all the epistles that Paul writes. Paul writes about the Spirit factor. The factor of the Spirit. Romans chapter 1, after talking about the prophecies of the prophets, he goes in verse 4, and declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now, you don't miss that in any way. according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, in Romans 5 and verse 5. Romans 5 and verse 5. He says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. He says, the Holy Ghost in us also demonstrates the love of God. The love of God. You know, we say the love of God is God gave Jesus to die. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. Romans 8:32. He who spared not his own Son, but delivered him for us, shall he not with him freely give us of all things? Paul, he's saying, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given to us. And so some interesting Bible scholars will say, Christ is the gift of God to the world, the Holy Ghost is the gift of Christ to the church. And they have a sense. In other words, if you say, what has God done to show he loves the world? He gave Jesus to die. What has he shown to the church that he loves the church? Is that his spirit is in us. And that makes a lot of sense. And so in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, Paul says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. In verse number 9 and from 8 says, you are not in the flesh but in the spirit. Verse 9, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Verse 9, if any has not the spirit of Christ, is none of these. Then he tells you the story of verse 10 of Christ being in you. The Spirit is life. Christ is in you. He raised up that body, Romans 8:11. He will modify the deeds of the body, Romans 8:12 and 13. Romans 8:14, he will be led by the Spirit to your Son. Romans 8:15, you have received the Spirit of adoption, you are God's Son. Romans 6:16, the Spirit bears the Spirit that you are God's children. You can go on and on. In Romans 15, Paul says in 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's how he wants to preach the gospel. By the power of the Holy Ghost. In Romans 15 again, verse 30, he says, I beseech you brethren for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit that you strive with me in prayers. 1 Corinthians has a lot of that. 1 Corinthians 1. Or let's say 1 Corinthians 2, about his preaching and teaching, the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. He says, we have not received the Spirit. God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 10. He says, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2 and 11. We have not received the Spirit of this world but the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 12. That we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. 1 Corinthians 2:13, the Holy Ghost teaches these things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man cannot receive these things because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, you are the temple of God. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16. 1 Corinthians chapter 6:11 says you're washed, sanctified. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6:17, since you're joined with him, you're one spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12, now concerning spiritual things, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. For I know that you know that you were Gentiles, being carried away with dumb idols wherein you were led. Now I give you to understand, no man speaking by the Spirit of God call it Jesus Christ. No man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Look at that. You know, at every juncture of Paul's teaching, he mentions the how, the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. You're baptized in this one body by his Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, you have the class, the classroom of the Spirit. We're going to get there. That's a classroom of the Spirit. Where this is what you do. Because of what you do, this is what he does. Then he calls Jesus Christ the life-giving Spirit. 15 verse 47 through to 51. Then let's skip 2 Corinthians and go to Galatians. Galatians says, what did you receive when you got born again? Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law, Galatians 3:2-3, or by the hearing of faith. Having begun in the spirit, do you not seek to be perfected in the flesh? That's Galatians 3. Galatians 4 now tells you, because you are sons, God has set forth the spirit of his son into your heart. Galatians 4:5, crying, Abba, Father. Galatians 5, Paul, in verse 16, walk in the spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the spirit is love. See that? You're born by the spirit, now you walk in the spirit. Galatians 5:24, did our Christ have crucified the flesh and lost in the affections thereof? Therefore, if we live in the spirit, 25, let us walk in the spirit. So there's a spirit factor. Ephesians 1:3, you are blessed with all blessings of the spirit. I guess that word spiritual blessings causes people some problems. But if you try to unbundle that word for them and say the word spiritual simply means of the spirit. So put it together, blessings of the spirit. That means the blessedness is in the spirit. Then it lists a lot of things. That he prays that you, your eyes of understanding should be enlightened, that you should have wisdom and revelation of the spirit, or the wisdom of the spirit, that insight. Then read on and on and on and on. Ephesians 6:17 talks about the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always in the spirit. So you can read 18 without 17. You can't read 17 without 18. Of course, I skipped Ephesians 2:18. By one spirit you have access to one Father. That's salvation. He says it's the spirit. Then you get to Ephesians. Yeah, you get to Philippians. Philippians. Chapter 1. So chapter 2. If any, verse 1, fellowship of the Spirit. There's the fellowship, what the Spirit has given and shared with us. The fellowship of the Spirit. Colossians 1:7. Or 1:8, your love, he says, in the spirit. This is everything I'm talking about. Your love in the spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6, with the joy of the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he says also power and in the Holy Ghost in much assurance. So the spirit factor is how you can explain Christianity. You can only explain Christianity appropriately when you speak the spirit factor. 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy actually. 2 Timothy 1:14. Good thing which you are committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. Keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. Titus 3:5. We are saved by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The renewing of the Holy Ghost. So you can have a Christianity taught and discourse without the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't forget what we said. We said the very genesis of the description of the Holy Ghost, right, is to use the word wind and breath to describe that cannot be seen, which is an imagery. But that imagery doesn't mean that the Holy Ghost is not a person. Because it says God said, or the Spirit of God. In other words, where you have the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God, you have, let me try and say this, you have God's relationship or God relating with man. And he does it via, put it this way, an imagery of what cannot be touched like such, but is real and true. And so, the life of the faith, the life of Christianity, is built in the power of the Holy Ghost. Walk in love, that's by the power of the Holy Ghost. Pray, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Forgive one another, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Obey God, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Feed the flock, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Be an example of the believer, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. It is not a performance game, even though there's a performance to it. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, it's an important truth for a believer to know that we walk in the Word of God, we walk in Christianity, we walk in the faith by the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. By the power of the Holy Ghost. So, you can call a Christian, you know, you can say, a Christian is born again. Wow. Though the word born again has maybe three references, majorly. First Peter 1:23, and somehow they have two different Greek words to them. Amen. So you can say born again. You can say new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Colossians 3:10, Ephesians 2:10, you write. You can say Son of God. 1 John 3:1-2. Romans 8:14. Yep. Maybe John 1:12, you're right. Ephesians 1:5. Son of God. You can say an heir of God. Romans 8:17. You're right. You can also say a brother with Christ, Hebrews 2:11, John 20:17. You are correct. You can say a friend of God, a friend of Christ, John 15:13-14. You are right. You can say the righteousness of God in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21. You are right. But one of the most descriptive descriptions, part of my tautology, of a believer is that he has the Spirit of God. He has the Spirit of God. We say that is an error born. A value. What has value and what shows or puts to your mind what God can do. He's sealed of God. By the Spirit of God. In Jude, Jude had described the unborn again man. He called them many names. Not nice names. But God of Jude 19, he says, sensual. When he says sensual there, it means all they do is in the senses. All they do is in the senses. Have you been somewhere and someone say, what's all this about? Why? And he's asking a question. A Christian is asking, why are they praying this way? You've been somewhere and everybody, maybe I noticed the service as he started praying. You were praying Ephesians 1:17 for the service. Then it snowballed into praying with loud groanings, right? Now somebody that started that service with you say, what is in this scripture that's making you pray this way? That's sensual, right? He says, he can't fathom what you're talking about. I've never been enlightened, you mean, no, yes. But then he sees someone just maybe groaning. He just go, he says, You know why it's strange to him? It's sensual. But someone who knows the power of the Holy Ghost knows that there was a switch, right? In the prayer that needed not to be read out. But the sensual guy would say, nobody told us that we're going to groan. How do we do it? Everybody want to go. You get it? He doesn't get it. He's just a sensual fellow. So Jude describes it like this. He says, not having the Spirit. Sensual. So you can't expect someone who's not born again to pick a hold of what's going on. Hallelujah. A friend of mine, he said he had a burden to pray. And so he went into a room and he's praying all day, morning till evening. He's praying. And he stayed up in a room in the University of Ibadan. He's staying there, he's praying and praying. Then the dad came looking for him. And so the dad had a way to, he got into the room, lo and behold. He said, ha! When the father was describing, he says, is your eyes the best way to say it, but let me say it in English. He says, his eyes were red. I was wondering, what is my son taking? Then you say, he was praying. Then he says, praying for what? He's a student. Even if his lecturers are troubling him, he should tell me. And then you sit down with the kind of person you are explaining to him why you are praying. Why are you wasting your time? One day, I went to pray, and I used to sneak out to pray. I'll sneak out. And I'll go pray. And I'll pray in the bush. So my dad waited for me one day at the gate. Now, normally I will have a way I do the gate. So when I'm coming, it's Ephata. So that day I was struggling. I didn't know that somebody was behind the veil. So eventually I opened the gate and he said, where are you coming from? With all my prayer boldness, I lost the boldness. I didn't expect that. He said, wait. Where are you coming from? I asked him, I want to pray. Pray. This is a Christian home. We pray every day. He said, you've gone for how many? How long? I didn't want them the whole time. I said, about 3 hours. Said, what are you saying? He said, I know you. You're a good boy. How many sins did you commit to confess for 3 hours? Because I know that when he's praying, half of his prayer is confession of sins. So he's wondering, 3 hours? Now how do you want to explain to him that sometimes in the night you picked up an impression? Not from the TV, not from how you were feeling, but right inside. You picked up an impression. And you have to walk through this path. Hallelujah. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't explain forgiveness the way you... How do you want to say it? So the Mandela walked through the prison doors. And he said, when I left that prison doors, it was... And they're quoting it to Christians. Mandela what? No point to the cross. Hallelujah. Mandela? No. Mandela never said he believed in Jesus. I like him as Mandela. You know, what about the leading of the Spirit? And so you have the power of the Holy Spirit, sensual. Not having the Spirit. But beloved, glory to God. Build up yourselves on your most holy faith. He had to put in the word, pray in the Holy Ghost. Because you have the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the Holy Ghost. So you know we can say Christianity is in the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. Praise God. You know you pray effectively because it's by the Holy Ghost. You minister effectively because it's by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I met, and we had a tango for hours, a New Testament scholar. I'm saying someone who went to school to read New Testament theology as an atheist. And very, very sound in knowledge. Very sound. In other words, he can quote, but he went to study it so that he can debunk the Bible that he calls a myth, having not the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Having not the Holy Ghost. Amen. Having not the Holy Ghost. Having not the Holy Ghost. So that's a desire. Our desire to study God's word effectively and scholastically is inspired by the Spirit of God. So we bear our kind of fruit. Do you get it? By the fruit you know them. So the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. So I said I was using the example of the prayer. So he switched. And we almost know how to do that. We're all in a meeting. We're going somewhere. We're in a ministry. We also know how to say, I'm sensing them. You sensing? So I sense it. Yeah, well, come on. Let's have some time of praying. Not that we saw a flyer. Men must to pray. No, we don't have a seed on the flyer. We're in the Spirit. We're in the Spirit. Because the believer is the one who has the Holy Ghost. I've got the Holy Ghost. So if we don't worship God as an idol in a shrine, then where is the God we worship? He's in the Spirit. He's in the Spirit. And our worship of Him, right, is effective when we give expression to Him. In other words, we see God walking through us the way the idol worshiper goes to see his idol in the shrine. We see Him walking through us. We see Him leading us. We see Him inspire us. We see Him guard and guide us. We have the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Amen. That's why it's strange for a Christian not to be charismatic. How are you not charismatic? How can you say, I'm a non-charismatic Christian? Are you listening to yourself? I'm not charismatic. When I was done with the guy, I was saying, I don't believe in charismatic. I don't get it. When I was done with him, he said, no, you have boxed me to a corner. I said, you're already in the corner. A bad one for that matter. The gift of righteousness is called charisma. The gift of ministry is called charisma. The workings of God is called charisma. Service is called charisma. So how can you say you're not charismatic? That means you are not born again. He said, no, you're boxing me to a corner. I said, you're already in the corner. Glory to God. I have the Holy Ghost. You know, you can say that often. In the morning, when it appears like, well, you've checked all the things, you can't find anything. You've seen it, you can't see it well. I say, well, even if my eyes can't see it, I've got the Holy Ghost. These eyes are limited. These ears are limited. These hands are limited, but I'm not limited inside. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got the Holy Ghost. So I need to know that. I need to know how to yield to the Holy Ghost. I need to know how to yield to the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got the Holy Ghost. You planning for a program? Yeah? Yeah, yeah. You paid for the place? Or you bought the place? Oh, good. You've done your adverts, that's fine. You set up everything. How are you different from those who organize concerts? You have the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost. So you can, you set the right times, amen. You know what to teach, not to teach, amen. You know, God can prepare you for those who are coming. Sometimes it takes 3 months to prepare you for one meeting. As you are led by His Spirit, as you flow with His Spirit, and then eventually what He has been walking through, you get to see. Taking to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've got the Holy Ghost. We're Holy Ghost people. Amen. Glory to God. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got the Holy Ghost. In your evangelism, you've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, we said Holy Ghost is value, power, that ability that God has. Erabon, I've got the Holy Ghost, I've got the Holy Ghost, I've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Hagin will pray it like this. He speaks through my lips, sees through my eyes, acts through my deeds. Hallelujah. Kind of like that prayer. Speaks through my mouth, sees through my eyes. Hallelujah. Acts through my deeds. It ministers through me. I've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. People can actually rely on you because you have the Holy Ghost. Imagine Paul in Acts 27. He was the only one who said, I know what's going to happen. And he was the one in jail. He said, what's going to happen? Tell us, tell us. He had the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I've got the Holy Ghost. So we're going to get in on these things. I'm going to teach this first service, second service, Wednesdays. Amen. Till camp meeting, after camp meeting, praise God. Amen. I've got the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory to God. So if we are disciples, and we have the Holy Ghost, we need to learn. 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 We need to learn. Learn. Brother, he pastors, well, he was a deacon there as a pastor. And he told me, he said, in 1995, he taught us in Dunamis meetings, learning the ways of the Holy Ghost. 1995, August. Took them through 2 weeks, taught them, learning the ways of the Holy Ghost. Then I taught them Hebrews 2:4, signs, wonders, divers, miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost. He brought some now. He said, of something I never left. I never left me, pardon me. Years and years and years. So even when I strayed, was that you taught us that we have the Holy Ghost permanently. Said, I never forgot it. Taught us how to yield to the Holy Ghost. Many of the times I can't even remember the sermon notes again. I remember I was looking at a note. I asked someone to do a synopsis for me on the Doctrine of Righteousness, 2006. And I thought where I explained the wrath of God as man made. 2006. Wrath of God is man made. It's not God reacting. It's man who self-destruct, is self-destruct. Praise God. 2006. Two kinds of righteousness. I'm going to ask them to release it shortly. Amen. Because I'm going to teach you kind of righteousness series 2. This year. June. May, June. Amen. You ready for it? Well, whether you like it or not, I'm going to teach it. You have to show up. Amen. Anytime I call the day, I say, Sunday night, you're there. Amen. So the pastor. Now, see, that's it. So he said, I can't forget that. The pastor, can't forget that. Have the Holy Ghost permanently. Got the Holy Ghost. So Genesis chapter 1 says, that's God's working in the earth, the Spirit of God. God is not technology. Can you say amen? Amen. But God is the Spirit. And so His Spirit will tell us how to use technology well and how not to use it. God is the Spirit. Isn't technology? It's not the senses. How do you know God is not your senses? It's not your feeling. He's His Spirit. And you have His Spirit. You have His Spirit. Amen. You have His Spirit. So let's delve into a couple of things tonight, and we'll build on it on Sunday. Well, in case you don't come on Sundays, don't worry. you get something on Wednesday. Did I say something? Well, you lay hold of it on Wednesday. Amen. So we have the spirit factor. The spirit factor. I want us to, want to zero in on something very critical. I think I taught a bit in this series, but I want to look at it differently. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Again, there's an imagery here that Moses gives to us. Now, I'll save you all the text, but you know the background. Satan, Adam and Eve. And then verse 8 says, they heard the voice of God, the Hebrew word call, a definite message. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. If you have ever seen this thing in some books, it looks like in the evening. But the word cool there is the word spirit. In other words, that encounter is by his spirit. And then God said to them. Now, notice something was that this was a meeting. God, as it were, met with them. But let's leave that out. We'll explore that later. In Numbers 11, and one of the things we know to do as believers, or we are taught to do, well, we know to do, amen. As believers, we know how to have spirit-led meetings, spirit-inspired meetings. We know how to take God to meet with people. We know how to do it. It's a learning we have. It's a learning we are in. It's a learning we are getting better at. It's a learning we have. It's a learning we are in. It's a learning we are getting better at. You know I'm getting better? In the things of the Spirit. My best is not in my past. So there's a learning. There's a learning. There's a learning. There's a learning to it. How to have spirit-led meetings, or how to have God meet with people, or how to have the Spirit of God bring people together. Amen. Numbers 11. Look at something Moses does here. I've always told you, we can be very intelligent about the things of God. How many of you know that after a while, let me give you something. I know that after a while, okay, your first evangelism experience, you probably, maybe you got happy, then got sad, then both together. As time went on, you were intelligent about how you preach. Then getting people filled with the Holy Ghost, you became intelligent at it. That is, you seem to know how to get a fellow filled with my very first time. Well, how about my very first time? Not my first time, but the one I can really remember what happened. I gathered people, I asked them to form a circle and hold their hand. And they were singing lovely songs. Spirit of God, come on me. But nothing came on them. The interesting part was that I laid hands on everybody and they fell under the power of God and nobody spoke in tongues. But I was happy that they fell. No, I'm serious. I was happy. I said, take it. Nobody spoke in tongues. A circle is large enough. Not even one person helped my faith. Let's encourage this guy and just say, rah, 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 rah. But they fell down. Also, yeah! And I went back, so I wasn't smart. But later on, in fact, after a while, I had friends that we started timing ourselves. How long will you take it to get somebody filled with the Holy Ghost? Then I think The person who had the record, I think it was 10 seconds. I think so. Or less than that. Because I remember, we used to do it, Robert talks, we would say, I had 1 minute. I never was top three. I don't think I was top four, self. But I had a friend who would say, that they were eating, was a bar. He asked the guy, are you feeling? The guy said, no. He said, begin to talk to him. That's all he said. The guy had a I started talking to him. So that's why I can't know whether it's 3 seconds or 5 seconds. As he said that, we knew what he was doing. So we looked at our wristwatch. Ah! This guy has the record now. You know? And I had another lady who her own was just lay hands. Me, I can do all the exegesis, explain, just lay hands. But if I don't explain, she just goes, what if you really go, pam? But are they like it or not? I don't know. They just make you talk. You know what? Again, with years, I became more intelligent. That's good to explain. It's good to explain. It's good to explain before, during, and after. You can be very intelligent with it. Intelligent. Very intelligent. Some guys say, well, you cannot say, ask people, you can't force people to speak in tongues, you can't do this one, you can't do that one, and all of that. You know, we'll get to all that. But you can be intelligent in prayer too. Imagine when you first learn to pray, and pray with burdens, you will disturb the house. Everybody know, he's praying, you know. She's praying. But after a while, you knew how to be doing other things, and yet yield to the Spirit of God. That means you became more intelligent. More intelligent. When it comes to laying hands, you can be more intelligent. More intelligent at the way you go about it. You can be more intelligent. More intelligent at the way you go about it. When it comes to yielding, as you are, maybe you are supposed to share at the spur of the moment, you can be more intelligent. You can be more intelligent. You can be more intelligent. You can know how to know on a Tuesday that something you heard is for 2 weeks. You can be that intelligent. You can be intelligent. You can mature. Just tell his disciples, you can mature and know how it is. At times you can be intelligent to know timing and say, it's this time. Then this time. Then that time. But all I'm saying this for is that you shouldn't, it's not something you say, like we started with the illustration of a doctor, remember, and a lawyer. You can actually get better and become skillful. Amen. Can get better and become skillful. Skillful. Say, I become skillful in the things of God. In the things of the Spirit. I become skillful in the things of God and the things of the Spirit. Amen. Numbers 11. I know you are still there, but still listen. I become that intelligent. If you get to a place now, maybe a university, maybe a town, maybe a country, a new nation, a new place, you can actually know what God intends to do. That's the intelligence. You know, there's a way you can come into a place, maybe a city, and pick, that's how you pick or take or receive what should be done. Not necessarily what you will do, because it might just be what you will help others do. You can know that. You can be intelligent at it. You know, in the coming days, we won't waste our efforts. Amen. You will have more harvest than losses. Amen. You will not waste time like before. We're getting to days where we are more pointed and we actually get things done better and more effectively. Amen. I said that you have no time wasting activities. You're skillful. You're skillful. You know how somebody can come and everybody's wasting their time in a car. Somebody says no now, and they are there 3-4 hours. That's skill. You have that, amen. As we keep learning, we have that. We know how it's done. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You know, it's a year of supernatural order by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. And one of the things in that order, is that you won't waste time. And you won't waste effort. You won't waste time, you won't waste effort. Amen. You won't waste time, you won't waste effort. And you won't waste resources. Resources, both supernatural and natural. You know how the resources will not go to waste. You won't waste resources. You won't waste resources. You will not waste resources. You won't waste resources. The things you have learned over the years, none of them will go to waste. Amen. And the things you are going to learn the more will be as a result of being faithful at the things you know now. Amen. Because you are getting more skillful, more intelligent. Amen. More skillful, more intelligent. No waste. I said no waste. So Numbers 11, look at Moses. I mean, the issue was having someone or people who were going to stand with him. He knew something that replaced itself throughout scripture. You know, Moses has a lot of firsts. He knew something. Or he did something. Numbers 11. Mr. I've not opened there. In verse 16, gather unto me 70 elders. Verse 17, I will come down and talk with you there. Take up the spirit that is upon you and put it upon them. Two things. Gather, then rub off. Gather and rub off. That's the second thing. Then the third, sanctify yourselves unto the morrow. That means keep your focus, keep yourself sacred, or keep that period sacred. That's the third thing. Now, look at this, verse 25. Verse 24. He gathered them in the tabernacle. Okay? And verse 25. The Spirit rested on them and the prophesied did not cease. He knew something. He knew how to initiate things. One of the most effective ways to initiate the things of God anywhere is a meeting. Hey, I didn't say a program. That's why you go and start a flyer. Go and print a flyer. I know how to do it. Anyway, you don't do that again. Because you don't waste time. You don't waste efforts. You are pointed. You are pointed. And you are resourceful. Amen. In the things of God. So he knew you will gather people. He knew that you will rub off on them. And he knew that you will sanctify. Sanctify simply means keep it sacred, what you are doing. Hallelujah. More gatherings. Not gatherings for the fun of it, gatherings that we know how to initiate the things of God. He knew that. Now, look at how the thing came back in the New Testament times. Matthew 10, Mark 6, Luke 9. Jesus equally called the 12 to himself. He called them to a place. And then he gave them power. And he gave them instructions. So one, there was a gathering. Two, There was a rub-off. He gave them power. Matthew 10, 1 and 2. Luke 9, 1 and 2. Mark 6. That should be verse 12 and 13. Let me check that so I won't. Mark 6. Yeah. Mark 6, 7. Sorry. He gave them power. Do you know he didn't give them power by, listen carefully, he didn't give them power by just saying, he gave them by instruction. That is utterance. Utterance. So we know together, and we know via utterance to initiate why we gathered. And we know how to keep the gathering secret. Amen. You are going to learn to keep gathering secret. I'm saying, meetings you attend every week, you will not lose your honor for them. You won't lose your honor for them. I mean, meetings you attend in not too cozy areas, not too nice places, you won't lose your honor for them. No, you won't. So there is the gathering that rubs off, and then, as it were, the sacredness of the place. Jesus does the same. He calls them, he gives them power, and he gives them instructions. Very vital. So he gave it to them via utterance. Call it supernatural utterance. In Luke 24 and 48, he says, you are witnesses unto these things. Amen. Prayer meetings are getting deeper. Getting deeper. Yeah. There are depths. Those who take prayer groups, stand up. Prayer group leaders, stand up. There are depths to it. There are depths to leading prayer. 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 Depths to leading prayer. Where you will take the congregation into God's will by His Spirit. There are depths to leading prayer. And I therefore say to you, pray before the prayer meetings. Pray before the prayer meetings. Pray before the prayer meetings. Spend the same time to pray. And then you will be able to lead men to pray appropriately. There are depths to prayer meetings. There are depths to it. There are depths to prayer meetings. There are depths to it. I'm saying depths of the power of God. Depths of revelation. Depths of distance where we cover much because we pray. Learn to yield to the Holy Ghost. Learn to yield to the Holy Ghost. Learn to yield to the Holy Ghost. Let it not just be a ceremony. Let it be a yielding to the Holy Ghost. Hear me every time. Have your seat. So, three things, which means I call people, they came, then I rub off on them, and then that is a sacred assembly. I rub off on them. In other words, God takes the spirit upon and puts it upon the other person, which means that people are capable of doing what I'm doing. If you want to have people do what you are doing, call them for a meeting. There is no way we can replace that physical meeting. No way. There's no way. You know, I saw somebody minister like someone, and then I knew the depth of being around someone. I was stunned. It was as though, in fact, the person ministered like Kenneth Hagin. It was as though but that he was not ministering. And I said, this is so real. And it wasn't play acting. A couple of times, I said, there's something about someone rubbing off, really. And you will see the same depth in ministry. So if you're getting a place, there is The meetings, when you have meetings in your fellowship, in your churches, it's not just a meeting where you come, you teach, then you observe the emotions. You are actually rubbing off on them. Every meeting like this, is there the people that are taking of what is on you. And that will happen the more when you take the meeting seriously or more seriously. We said there's no waste again, right? There's no meeting without impact. There is no service without definite impact. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we don't waste time. We don't waste resources. We don't waste activities. We are resourceful and great managers. Amen. So, look at that. So, in Luke 24, it says, behold, 49, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in. There are a few things I want us to examine. Old Pentecostal terms that we may just have to look at. Effective terms. The terms may not look well explainable. One of them is to tarry. You must know how to wait. You know, some of us are too mechanical in the way we use the Holy Ghost. So, the moment you are in a meeting, the first thing is, you just start. You do this. It's almost like you write a script out. But learn to tarry. Learn to wait. Learn to wait for the way the meeting will go. You can learn to wait more. If we learn to wait the more, we learn to just wait the more. Of course, the Luke 24:49 is not about waiting in place and all that. I'm just saying this, waiting. Obviously, those guys tarried till they were able to see the depth of what Jesus was saying. And Acts 2:1-4 happened. Now let's take that to today. You know, whatever happened in Acts 2:1-4, they had never seen it before. Why? Because they tarried. It's not about that. We'll look at it. I mean, this is not today. It's not for today. It's not about just you being able to. And in your prayer life, some of us can be mechanical. Just be pam, 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 you are gone. What if you tarry a bit more? If you tarry a bit more, there could be something that you missed out because you were impatient. And the same thing goes about all trances and revelations. There's something you can, even when it comes to ministering to the sick, learn to, okay, today is not for tarrying, but we'll get to that. So, meetings, therefore, play a crucial role in how the Spirit walks in the earth. Acts 2:1-4 is an example. They're all filled with the Holy Ghost. And spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. John 20:22, he breathed, saying, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28, he called them to a place, 18-20. Luke 24:48-49, he called them to a place, Acts 1:8. Let's learn the importance of meetings. The importance of meetings. I say without having doubts, without, unequivocally, there's nothing I've discovered about my life or ministry that I didn't discover in a meeting. Sometimes it's the meeting where others, most of the time, but there are meetings where I attended and I didn't minister. There are times in the meeting where I ministered. You can be all about, you are the one ministering, and forget that the Holy Ghost is in the meeting. You can be all about, I'm the one ministering, and I'm not, and then you put all the attention on what you can do. And what you are doing. And forget that, look, the Holy Ghost is in the meeting. And you can equally, let me use the phrase, be blessed. So, Acts 13. Just make mention of this and we'll get to it later. The minister of the Lord, verse 2 and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, a very vital moment in the history of Christianity, where Paul and Barnabas went to the Gentiles. Where did it begin? In a meeting. Hallelujah. We pray for such meetings in our days. Yeah. Where somebody doing something in far, far north of Nigeria, in the east, we say, thank God I came for that service. That was the service. That was the service. They didn't predetermine that utterance. It just happened. That was the service. It's a cell meeting. That was the service. What about, thank God I came to your house. And rather than just gist away, say, let's just pray in tongues a bit. And that was the meeting. 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 Amen. You know, it's like that for your meetings this year and after. Nobody will leave your meeting and commit suicide. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody will leave where you are ministered and have depression. No. You have the answers. Nobody. You will know. You will pick up things in the hearts of men. You pick up their plans and you stop what the enemy tries to do. Amen. Because your meetings are sacred to you and sacred to those who come. Your meetings are sacred to you. They are sacred. They are not meetings where you just do it because you have a pastor who told you to do it. No. They are meetings that every service you are yielding to the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 Glory to God. I say it again. Nobody leaves your meeting to go and commit suicide. No. Supernaturally, your meetings end strife. Supernaturally, your meeting stalls the plans of the enemy. Supernaturally. Those who plan to stray from the word of God, from the ministry of the Spirit, will not do it again. You know why? Because they are sacred to you. And you rub off on them. Hallelujah. 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 You know, there's no mistake in your utterances. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ah, yeah, because it's supernatural order. Things are in order. Things are in order. Things are in order. Things are in order. So you say, oh, thank God I was there. Thank God I came. I'm saying you are teaching Bible subjects. You are leading prayer. Thank God that I came. Thank God. Because there are some people that will attend that prayer meeting because you prayed them into it. They didn't plan to come. You dragged them to come and pray. And they say, thank God I came. I didn't want to come. You just smile. I prayed about you. And you came. And such men will leave the place. And they will become triggers of the move of God in other places. Your prayer meetings are birthing prayer ministers. Your prayer meetings are birthing men who are boiling with the power of God. So you are not just leading prayer to observe the day. You are actually stirring up something when you lead prayer. Amen. Amen. You know, you are a full-blown charismatic minister. Full-blown. You don't go half measure. You go full measure. Ha ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. More meetings. Sacred meetings. Hallelujah. I will have more order in our meetings. More joy. More order. More reverence in the meetings. More of God's power. Physical demonstrations of the power of God. More laying on of hands. More seeing and knowing. Glory to God. Amen. Do you notice the word more? Notice that word more. More means more. More to what I've seen before. More to what I've done before. More to what I've experienced before. More. Nobody's tiring up here. Nobody's tiring here. Everybody's fired up. Glory to God. Amen. We know to yield to God. And stay up 3-4 hours and just pray in tongues at night. And 10 years down the line, we'll know why we did. Amen. We'll know why we did. So meetings, we're going to learn how to use it well. Glory to God. Glory to God. Brother Higgins said this, that when we have a move of God in a service, in a meeting, that the end point is to fulfill God's will in the earth. So we are not wasting things. When we do more Holy Ghost meetings, we have more Holy Ghost on the streets. When we do more prayer meetings, we'll see the effects on the streets. Hallelujah. On the streets. Yeah, we will see it on the streets. Well, it looks like it will look like a cult uprising is dead on arrival. Yeah, a cult uprising in 3 places. 2 are schools. 1 is not. But dead on arrival, it will not hinder the work of the ministry. No, it won't. Key people in those places will receive salvation. Yeah. The course of this year and the year to come. Praise God. There's someone here who probably want to point to you, but you just have some resource in that area of those who were initiated into calls. They received the gospel. In the quite some results like that. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You just discovered that you are meeting them often, Well, it's because that's how you are praying. It's your prayer that took you there. You know, when you pray like that, you don't know where it's taking you to. But you know. Amen. And you find out. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, churches are strengthened. All over Africa, all over Nigeria. Strong churches. Churches that can't die. Strong. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, those things are sacred. Go back home today and do, that's what the service is for. Do a consecration to the meetings you hold and the meetings you attend. I'm not saying Holy Ghost meetings or camp meeting. Thank God for camp meeting. And what a glorious meeting we have ahead of us. Thank God for Believers Convention. Thank God for what you just, but I'm saying that Sunday service. That Tuesday service. That Sunday evening service. That Wednesday service. That Thursday service. Hallelujah. How did I know that God wanted me to teach the gospel? 1994, August. August, September. I went for a teaching meeting. Just went to learn. In fact, when they said that day they were going to teach on the ministry of the teacher, I just took my mind off. Said, well, let me hear evangelists. Evangelistic. How to bombard the nations. And the man began to teach. I wore a silk black shirt, black pair of trousers, and of course my usual slippers. If you know what I mean, some of you know my usual slippers. And the man began to minister. He talked about the ministry of the teacher. I wasn't prepared for it. Then he simply said, if you are called to teach, come out. Many people came out. I couldn't have come out because I didn't believe it. Then he stopped. He said, you there. Now I believe that that's a result of how I prayed that I didn't know. He said, you there, come. I said, me? And I did. And he laid hands. He said, from now, that which is known in my word as a gift of teaching will begin to function. You are going to teach and all the nations of the world will hear you. I'm not sure I believed it. I'm not sure I did. Well, you know what happened? It's happening. And it will keep happening. Something about the meetings. Keep them sacred. Of course, if I travel from Lagos to Ibadan for a service, I used to go every week. That on its own shows I revere the meeting. I mean, I go to Lagos, I leave Lagos, go to Ibadan in the Oluyole Estate, Ibadan. And I attended the service 1 whole year. Didn't miss one. On Tuesday, except I went to preach somewhere and all that. Didn't miss it. Every Tuesday, I'll be there. They call the School of Ministry. I'll be there. Just learn. I took the whole series, the Anointing series, the Ministry series, the Out of the Mantle series. Everything. Just something about keeping things sacred. But then I said, I was there last week. I'll go next week. And generation of, I'll buy the teaching. I'll download it. You don't know how many things you missed out that you can never download. Keep meetings secret. Amen. Keep them secret. And in the days that we're in, not the days to come, a lot is going on. Hallelujah. It's a gospel that is growing. Hallelujah. It's a gospel that is spreading. Hallelujah. And it's spreading all over the continent of Africa, all over Europe and America. That is what we see. Amen. You get that? That's what we pray for. Of course, we pray and believe God that whatever it is in the natural, it will be stopped. Be stopped. But you know what? We don't contribute. We're not newscasters. Hallelujah. We're free from fear. And we're led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Let's begin to close intelligently. Intelligently, I mean, we know how to dedicate ourselves to meetings. I want you to pick those meetings as we close this service. Whatever meetings you attend regularly, we want to hop the ante. We want to make all our meetings, prayer meetings, teaching meetings, workers meetings, more Holy Ghost filled. You know we can. Amen. We can. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you. Oh, God is a brava siva. Keba bumba kos. Kido guru guru kuku di kudu su kuku. Obo no mongi be akos. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Pastors, learn to wait on God before you take the subjects you teach in the year. Wait on God. Don't teach your fancies. Wait on God. And he said, teach this subject. Teach that one. Wait on God. Maboba. I don't know. Ego breathes. I don't know most of us. Out of those. Bro, brother. Why are they all ladies? Why are they all ladies? You know why should you complain? Stop complaining. Stop complaining. Get a grip of yourself and mentor those ones. And then you will see nations of the earth respond to what you're saying. Stop complaining. Why are they all young? Why can't they be? Why can't they be? You know, your eyes are opening to see what you are really doing. I need your eyes by the Spirit of God to open to see what you are doing. And so you will stop complaining. You will stop being lazy. You will stop grumbling. And you put your hands on the plow. I want us to rededicate ourselves to our meetings tonight. To keep them secret. The ones we attend and the ones that we minister at. I mean, you do anything. Maybe you lead songs. Maybe you play the keyboard. Maybe you are an usher. We're all going to work together. Ushers, security people, protocol. We're all working together by the Holy Ghost. Not the pastors. Not a pastor's show. We're working together by the Holy Ghost. And we'll get the job done. Maybe we'll be having 30% because somewhere there's a disconnect with the ushers, disconnect with those who are in children's church, disconnect with those who are in the ushers, disconnect from the pastors, leaders. But we're getting it right. So we connect together and we get 100%. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. So that the pastor is not just laboring to do what you should be doing. It's just like when we carry something, if it's just one person that's carrying it, it becomes heavier. But if we are more carrying it, it becomes lighter. Imagine if the usher is walking together, the guy at the gates, everybody's working at something that the move of God is in this service. Everybody's working at the glory of God being seen in this service. From the door to those who are the technical, to those who are sound, to those who are TV. Then you know we can get 100%. Jesus said we can get 100-fold. We can get 100% if we are all working together. And you know we are working together. We are intelligent about these things. So you are not passive in church. You are part of it. Did you hear me? You are not passive. You are part of it. So the pastor is no longer, you know, trying to carry alone. As the person is leading worship, the person is not leading as such. We're all working together. And then the glory of God is seen in our midst. Let's pray. Let's pray. As we dedicate ourselves to our meetings, mention those meetings, where they are held, when they are held. And say, I dedicate myself to be a resourceful person in that service. What I'll contribute is the spirit, not the flesh, to that service, to that meeting. I will contribute the spirit